Next, we move on to Steve Mazin, Director of Economic Development, Airport Economic Impact Presentation.
Good evening.
Also introduce your guest and where he's from.
This is Randall Wiedemann from Wiedemann Associates, and I also have Bobby Dyer from the Department of Transportation. I'd like to ask Bobby to come up, please. And tonight we're going to talk about the economic vitality of the airport and the industrial park. And this presentation will also be given tomorrow at the airport committee meeting, out at the West Complex. And I'd like to bring Bobby up first, and she's going to talk about some of the brochures and the things that...
Good evening, everybody. This is part of a business plan that we put together with federal aviation dollars and some state and some county funds, a business plan for the Sussex County Air Park. We're here tonight just to show you a small piece of that plan. This is the economic impact study that was done for the airport. Some of the things we've also been working on is a Delaware Airport Directory, which features all the public use airports in the state. This is currently on the DelDOT website, and it just gives a lot of information for pilots coming into the area. Tonight we're here to give you the economic impact for the Sussex County Air Park, and if you have any questions after the presentation, please let us know.
This time I'm going to turn it over to Randall and... And what you have is basically the information that's handed out to pilots who are coming in to Georgetown, and it gives them more information in terms of the longs and lats and contact information for not only Georgetown but the other airports here in Delaware. Something we haven't had before, and it's been received very well.
Well, I would say that we might have some technical difficulties here. Couldn't be the only one. Oh well, we might end up doing it without.
It's embarrassing.
One last try here.
Why don't you tell us about it?
F7, is it? Yeah, F8.
Yeah, that's the one. It doesn't give us the... usually there's a process up here that... some reason.
Where's Eddie when we need him?
I'll tell you. It actually did work earlier. Oh, well. I'm going to just go ahead and give you guys the presentation without the visuals.
Acapella.
Acapella. We did a business plan for the airport as a part of it's an FAA grant that the state administered. Didn't cost the county anything. And as a part of that business plan, there was an economic impact component to try to quantify what the airport is worth. The business plan itself looked at a wide range of options, revenue enhancement options, that type of thing. And we ended up looking at some strategic initiatives, planning initiatives for the airport. But the existing conditions, when we looked at what the airport itself produced, we found that it directly supported, there's two components. There's the aviation side, there's the air side, and then there's the industrial park. The airport side, with Pats and DeCrane and so forth, directly supported 1,020 jobs, $55 million in income, $151 million in total economic impact. And because of the activity out there, it generated $7.6 million in state and local taxes. We looked at the indirect role of the airport, and of course it supported the local businesses with corporate aviation, and it also supported the local tax base. We did one for the industrial air park, and it supported 625 jobs, 10.6 million in incomes, 42.3 million in total economic impact, and 2.4 million in state and local taxes. When you combine those, we have a total of 1,650 jobs, 66 million in incomes, almost 200 million in total economic impact, and roughly 10 million in state and local tax generation from the airport itself. We presented, and this is just sort of a mock-up. We're going to, as part of this process, we did a brochure that basically publishes that information, along with some other pieces that, you know, would be helpful for marketing the airport, basically. The airport itself, there's a lot of activity that goes on out there. It supports PATS, Decrane, the aircraft modification, the Boeing business jet modification. The Delaware State Police have an aviation unit out there. It's a life-saving capability that you really can't put a price on. You've got fixed-base operators. You've got private companies. They're leasing space out there right now for those. And, of course, individual aircraft owners. There's a number of growth factors here in the county that support the reason for why you have that airport. Obviously, you know, this county is the fastest growing in Delaware. You have new housing construction, the quality of life issues that are bringing people here. Obviously, there's a need for air transportation that follows that. There's airport amenities that you have that you don't find anywhere else in the county. In fact, you have to go into Maryland to find comparable facilities. So you sort of have, you know, what we used to call a lock on low is, you have some facilities here that you can pick and choose then what kind of clients that you want to generate. There are some factors that do challenge the growth. There's constrained development potential, and you know, as things continue to develop, you know, the airport gets caught in that mix of land use priorities. Some of the strategic, there were actually three sets of strategic initiatives that we developed for the business plan. One was to retain your existing clientele out there at the airport. Two was to continue to develop hangars because that's where your revenue base is. And three was to add airport staff to implement and help with the growth that's going on out there. The recommended plan showed a decline in the deficit at the airport over the next 5 years to a near break-even position. We think that's an important thing. The study products that we have put together, we have a business plan brochure. We have a technical report that Steve and Jim have, and we have some executive summaries that will handout that sort of map out what the business plan is in a sort of a very brief overview. So, in essence, that's the presentation. And sorry, we didn't have the visuals for you. Any questions?
Those are pictures.
Basically,
yes, you'll find that there's a five-year set of recommendations in that document, and it goes by priority and year. It's toward the end of the document. There's a sort of a list of recommendations that we came up with for the airport and its management.
Mike, is it in our master plan? I like this guy. I mean, have you
I would have to look at those. I would assume that Randall has put everything in concert with our master.
It is, there's a couple of things that we've recommended in terms of marketing and other things that would actually accelerate the development that's in the master plan. But the master plan, and you'll see in our, even in our brochure, we're using the development plan right from the master plan. So it's in harmony with what you've got planned.
I'd just like to also, as a footnote, the today, being a very hot day at the airport, was very busy, and there was probably in excess of 75 operations out there today. And at one point, we had about five to six corporate jets that are now coming into the airport. So it was very busy. A lot of fuel was being sold, and I also noticed that some of those jets could have used another 1,000 feet, okay, because with this hot weather, they just need some additional runway. So it's not that they're big jets. It's just that, you know, they need that for safety, and that's something that we're planning for the future. Then we're moving. Okay. Yeah. And also, just as a footnote, another footnote, the in terms of the industrial park, there's a lot of signs out there in terms of the companies wanting to expand their operations. We only have a few lots. When I say a few, I mean small lots available right now. So everything is pretty much maxed out. So if we were to do anything, it would be to look at some additional industrial lands if we were going to be headed in that direction, okay, for future business.
Here, up there.
Over there. I'm sorry, Dave.
Do you have any comparisons on the number of jobs, how it's, I know it's grown to 1,600 now, but how it looked 5 years ago and 10 years ago?
Actually, we do have a study that was done roughly in 1999, and I don't have that with me, but there has been a significant growth. The growth primarily has been with the Pat's Crane, the Boeing Business Jet. If I remember, I mean, we're talking about, Steve, do you remember what it was? I mean, it seemed like it was down in...
It was in the area of around between 900 and 1,000 jobs at the industrial park, okay, just about a year ago when all of this information was being gathered. And since then, we're probably up around 1,100 to 1,200 jobs at the industrial park now, which doesn't, you know, even this is low. So there's been a lot of growth in terms of jobs. And even as we speak, Pat's the Crane, if you have an engineering degree, they're almost looking, okay, for engineers, bringing them from out of state, from California, throughout the United States to Sussex County. So
Pat's has all the time 5 to 10 openings, yeah. And these jobs are six figures.
Yeah, they're $100,000 jobs. Okay.
And are there any sites that are underutilized? I mean, where some of these people are just holding on to some of the land out there and tying it up?
No. Everything is maxed out, and what's coming into play now is the stormwater management issues for the folks that are wishing to expand. No longer was the pond that we put in back in the late 80s sufficient. Now they have to have additional stormwater capability, and it chews up that industrial property that they used to be able to expand their operations onto. But those are going to be some challenges, you know, not only that, but also firewater. Yes, we are. Yeah. Right. You know, and as they expand, their facilities are also going to need some additional firewater, okay, in order to sprinkle their facilities. So we have some challenges, you know, and they're all linked to jobs. And that's some questions.
Are the corporate hangars?
Corporate hangars are right now, Jim, I think he has two that he's reviewing, and they should be breaking ground, would you say, Jim? Where they are
the
right
now.
The
two that I have are both at the fire marshal.
Yeah. So they're moving, and they're getting their reviews and their permits right now. So we expect that some ground will be broken this summer, as a matter of fact. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Sal's has a view sanitary sewer district.
Better tomorrow.
South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District project number 0602 bid award.
I'll take them all.
Good evening.
Have one item on my agenda tonight. It's in reference to a proposed bid award for Sussex County project number 06-02. That's referred to as the South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District. It's the area, obviously, it's south of the town of Ocean View. There's about 300 existing septic systems in which we would take offline. The significant development of the area is Shady Dell Park, if you're familiar with that section of Sussex County. We had very good fortune here, as you will see by the bids that were distributed. I handed out a spreadsheet, and we received bids from six different contractors, and for us, that's an improvement in from where we were a year, year and a half ago.
I'm glad you didn't get the bid. You were the highest.
This is true. And our estimate is based upon the bids that we were receiving a year, year and a half ago. And again, competition is very beneficial to us, helping to reduce cost. As Mr. Cole mentioned, our engineer's estimate was $5.6 million, and we received a low bid. We actually had two bids, and I need to explain this a little bit, but basically the low bid was $4.1 million, so significantly less than the bids we were receiving last year.
And where was that, Mike, where you think you all estimated higher than the actual marketplace was?
It's pretty clear. The main thing that's being put in by this project is 8-inch sewer line, and the last, I'll say two contracts ago, we awarded a bid about $130 a linear foot, and this bidder has bid $90 a linear foot.
Mm-hmm. We're in line with what we saw several years ago.
It's kind of coming back down.
Have you worked with this gentleman?
Yeah, if you recall the Bayview Estates project in Sea Country Estates, we used this contractor. This contractor, we actually recruited ourselves from out of state. We sent out a lot of feelers a couple years back, and this contractor saw one of our notices, came down, looked over the area, and bid Bayview Estates, and now they're actually putting in the force main for the town of Georgetown too, so they've kind of established a presence down here, and they do pretty good work. We've been pleased with them.
Just for the record, you're not related to the low bidder?
I am not related to the low bidder, even though they're from Pennsylvania. That's correct. I need to explain a little bit about the bid alternate. One of the things that the contractors have brought to our attention, and we were a little reluctant to propose this, but again, trying to increase competition, what we are proposing to do is do an asphalt index, because once we go in and put the sewer in, obviously we tear up the roads, we have to pave over the roads again. And some of the contractors that we've worked with in the last year and a half put a price down on bid day, and then the cost of asphalt, liquid asphalt, had gone up significantly. So they asked us to put in an asphalt index so that when they put in the asphalt, which is basically the last thing they do on the contract, could be a year, year and a half from the date of the bid opening, they are going to be able to be paid based upon the cost of asphalt at that time. We are a little concerned about the unknown, you know, well, how much is it going to cost the county? So we bid the project two ways. We bid it where it was just a flat, whatever you bid on day one would be what you got paid a year and a half from then. The second alternative would be to use the asphalt index, where we looked at the price on bid day, and on bid day it was about $350 a ton for liquid asphalt. And that could go up. DelDOT maintains a record every month. They post a price. They do a survey. And it's commonly done on large paving projects. It's not commonly done on other public works projects. But we looked at the way that the bids came in, and there would be about a $30,800 difference between the two, whether we awarded it the old-fashioned way or we looked at the asphalt index. Now, as I mentioned, asphalt today was about $350 a liquid ton. It would have to go up to $550 a ton for us to exceed the $30,000. So basically, you know, if it goes up $100 a ton between now and a year and a half from now, we'll still only be halfway to that flat bid, which is the way we have awarded it in the past. So, and there's always a chance it could go down. I mean, because really right now asphalt is at an all-time high. So there's a chance it could go down and even save us some money. But because there is such a significant amount of difference between the base bid and the bid alternate, $30,800, I think it's worthwhile to go ahead and award the one that includes the asphalt index. We'll see how it works out. It's not really as far as some of our other projects, with which includes higher levels of paving. It's not a big amount because we have in this contract, there's a lot of unpaved roads. So it gives us a chance to try out this process and not really risk a whole lot of money and perhaps even save some money. So it would be my recommendation, and I have a motion that I can read if there aren't any questions.
Our rates were based on $5.6 million.
That is correct.
Right. So we're not jeopardizing the cost that we told the users by that.
Yeah, we should, you know, at the end of the day, we should see some improvement over the referendum rates.
Right.
Okay, be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants Whitman, Reckwart & Associates, LLP, and the engineering department, that Sussex County Project Number 02-06, South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District's collection and conveyance be awarded to Edward McGinn General Contracting of Westchester, PA, at the alternate bid amount of $4,196,315, contingent upon the receipt of approval from the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control and or the Rural Utility Service.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second. A motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Cole, to award the collections and conveyance contract for South Ocean View Sanitary Sewer District to Ed McGinn Contractors, Westchester, PA, for the price stated. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I voted yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Next, we'll start our hearings this evening. Public hearings, we have 7 scheduled, I believe. At this time, I'll have Mr. Griffith, our legal counsel, explain to our audience how he will conduct the public hearings. Mr. Griffith.
Thank you. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications or legislative hearings, council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank will tell us what happened with each application before the Planning and Zoning Commission and whether the commission has made a recommendation or not. After that, the applicant will be given an opportunity to present their case. If you're speaking for yourself, when you come to the podium, please state your name and your address for the record. Explain the reason or reasons why you are asking council to grant the application, whether it's for a conditional use or a change of zone. After each applicant has presented their application, then an opportunity will be allowed for anyone else who is present and interested in that application to come forward and state their position, whether it be in support of or in opposition. After both sides have been heard, then the public hearings are typically closed unless council wishes to keep the record open for some reason. After the public hearing is closed, then council can decide what action it will take on the matter. Does anyone have any questions regarding the procedure to be followed? Thank you. Mr. Lank?
Yes, gentlemen. The first application for consideration this evening is conditional use number 1658. It's the application of Bart and Brenda Dunaway to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for automotive repairs to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.54 acres, more or less, lying at the northeast corner of Route 24 and Route 409. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on the application for this evening on June 22nd, 2006. The commission was provided with copies of the survey site plan for this application. We heard comments from DLDOT, or received comments from DLDOT and the Conservation District. We also received 2 letters of support for this application. There was no one present on behalf of the application. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to defer action on the application until after the public hearings. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the chairman again announced this application. The commission found there was still no one present on behalf of the applicant. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the lack of a record of support. And that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of council, I will pass out copies of the survey and site plan for this application.
Are they here, Mr. Lang? Mr. Lang, are they here this evening? If not, there's no record, correct?
If not, there's no record.
Are Bart and Brenda Donaway present here tonight? Let the record show that the applicants are not present. Do you have a recommendation, Mr. Lang?
The recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission should be the same as council, since you have no basis for a record of support. But the council's policy is to reject an application for not being in attendance.
Gentlemen, you've heard Mr. Lang's recommendation. There is no record. Someone make a motion. You have read the title.
You'll read the title.
Read the title. Hearing.
Let me ask, are there any persons here who had planned to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application? Apparently not.
Mr. Lang, you did, just for the record, because he was called, he was made aware. I mean, the gentleman's paid.
He was advised that he
paid,
was.
What, $400?
Five.
$500. We have made him aware.
We even questioned acquaintances of his as to why he wasn't at a public hearing for the commission.
Right.
Or he didn't
show
received
the letter. He received a letter of instruction that he's to attend and a copy of both public hearings.
Maybe he changed his mind.
This is the second time. Twice we've had scheduled hearings and all. So I just want the record to be made aware. And he has received a phone call. He was told. So, and this is twice he has been denied.
At the previous set of public hearings was in 2004 in August. And
he's trouble making commitments.
Being we got low taxes, his way of making donations.
It was the public hearings were held on that original application, and he was in attendance, and he was rejected for a list of reasons.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
An ordinance. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for automotive repair. Be located in certain parts of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 1.54 acres more or less.
Make motion to approve CU 1658.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Jones to approve CU 1658, that of Bart and Brenda Donaway. Questions? And Mr. Cole, state the reasons.
I'll vote no. There was a lack of any record today.
There is no record. Mr. Cole votes no. Mr. Phillips?
Not voting.
Not voting. He's out of the room. Just return. Mr. Jones?
My vote is no also, Mr. President. I agree with the plan zoning to no record.
Mr. Dukes?
My vote is no. Lack of record.
My vote would be no for an issue 1658. There is no record of Bart and Brenda Donaway for this case with P&Z or this body. Motion denied. Next case is conditional use 1659, application of Robin R. May. And Mr. Griffith, I will, I personally don't know the lady, never met her, seen her before tonight, but I understand that you've been in contact with her company with some information. So to be proper, under the ethics and rules, I should preclude myself from this proceeding. Mr. Dukes will take the gavel.
Mr. Lang.
This is an application, conditional use number 1659, the application of Robin R. May to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential for a retail window treatment business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100 in Sussex County and containing 0.709 acres more or less, lying northwest of Route 24, 0.3 miles southwest of Road 284. The commissioners, as I will provide you with a copy of the site plan. There we go. Color one. The applicant's provided us a packet of information, which included a cover letter from Jim Whaler, attorney, a site plan showing some proposed revisions to the site plan, which I have provided to the council. A drawing of a 6x8 sign proposed to be erected on the site. Tax map marked to show non-conforming and conditional use sites along and near Route 24. Photographs of the non-conforming and conditional use sites in the area. Photographs of the site and photographs of window treatments, lamps, and lampshades, which are proposed to be sold at the site. For the benefit of council, again, that one copy of this series of photographs. Picture's worth a thousand words. And I have multiple copies of a series of photographs. What I'm passing out now is a copy of the photographs of the site showing the improvements that already exist on the site. Let me go back to them. Photographs of some of the product. Where it sits.
You're all right. You know.
Just being a little slow. And then copies of photographs of the business in the area and related maps. I got the map, Chair. I got to share these.
Okay, we have that. We share as well.
We received comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. We received a letter in support from Stephen and Susan Brink in support of the application. Robin May was present with Jim Whaler, attorney, with Tom Razor, and gave testimony. Catherine Roth, an immediate neighbor, was present in support of the application, saying she had no objection to the intended use. There were no parties present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the application based on the record. Since the location does not present a problem with neighbors, since the use should not create any impact on traffic, and with the following conditions. One, business hours shall be limited to 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. There shall be no Sunday hours. Two, there shall be no parking within the front yard setback. Three, one on-premise ground sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side or facing may be permitted. Any lighting of the sign shall be screened from impacting neighbors or traveling motorists. Four, the site plan shall be subject to review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I may have passed out to council, but there was another letter from Mr. Whaler received, and that letter included two additional letters in support. One from J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, and one from Jeffrey Gans, both in support. And I do have those as part of the record. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Would the sign that's proposed fall within the 32 square feet?
I believe I pass that out.
There you go.
No.
A little too big.
Let's see, it's in total would be
6x8.
It's 5x8, so it'd be 40 square feet. The recommendation of the commission was that it be 32 square feet.
To keep it.
That's pretty much the standard of conditional uses. However, the ordinance does allow for signs up to 150 square feet, which are a permitted size sign in a B1 district.
So that if it's approved with that sign, that
as presented,
that would need to be modified. Then
it would be need to modify to meet the square footage change.
To change it to 40.
Let me double check my math here.
This sign's not been made, right? This is
no.
They're proposing, right? So they could
true.
Make it. Right, okay.
So you take the sign, Mr. Lank, you don't consider the letters below it. You just consider, if
from that
point. Well, this is a, yeah, they may be if you calculate it in actual square footage because the shape of the sign being so irregular, it could be that they're closer to 30.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 42 inches.
Square feet than 40. Well, 42 inches plus 18 at the bottom.
If you're counting, the letters
below
it.
Unless we're showing that as a total.
No, we're showing.
But if you go in square, it's 6 by, on the sides. It's 12 feet off the ground, 6 feet high from through the center at the highest point. And then it's 96 inches wide, which is 8 foot. So that would be actually 48 square feet.
The Rogers sign.
In a square, or a rectangle, excuse me.
Just make
overall
it
dimension would
make
be that.
Consistent.
So are we permitted to exceed the 32 or not?
Sure.
The 32 is the only recommendation of the commission.
Okay.
The ordinance, as I said, allows for up to 150 square feet for special use exceptions, conditional uses, and non-conforming businesses.
The stipulation could be one sign not to exceed 150 square feet.
Could be, sure.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
Stick with the 32.
Okay, we'll hear from the applicant and her counsel, Mr. Whaler.
Good evening, members of council, Mr. Griffin. My name is Jim Whaler. For the record, I represent the applicant, Robin R. May. She is with me to my left and behind me. You have before you information concerning this parcel, which is 3/10 of a mile southwest of the intersection of Route 24 with County Road 284. It's in an AR1 agricultural district, and if the application is granted, Ms. May proposes to utilize the existing structure, not to make any changes to the existing structure, for a retail establishment to sell blinds, shades, drapes, shutters, portable lights, and accessories. The proposed general configuration is depicted on the undated site plan and survey by Mann Associates, which is included in the packets of the documents we filed with planning and zoning. She is presently conducting a business off Route 1, but she's outgrown that location and wishes to acquire her own property and move it to a site that's more accessible, in her opinion. As you can see from the material we've provided, there are quite a few other commercial uses in the immediate vicinity. Grizzly's Mulch and Stone, a windswept stables, a studio at 24 Art Gallery, and a medical office complex, as well as others on both sides of County Route 24. Although it's to be located in an environmentally sensitive developing area, the comprehensive plan update does state that additional commercial uses will be needed and should be limited to businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population. And in our opinion, this is the type of business that would serve that population growth that's obviously proceeding east from Long Neck toward Route 1. There's neither sewer nor central water are available, and the property is served by a well and an on-site septic system. The Department of Transportation did not request a traffic impact study, and the Planning and Zoning Commission found that there would be no change in traffic. In fact, the customer traffic is quite light for this type of business since a lot of the work is done off-site, and the projection is only 5 to 7 customers per day. Pictures in your packet depict those other businesses of which I've commented. The recommendation came to you with 4 conditions from planning and zoning. You've discussed this signage condition, and Ms. May hasn't constructed the sign, and she doesn't object to the 32 square feet. And that doesn't impact. The sign is very close to that anyway, but she has no problem with staying within that guideline. The one condition she does have some concern about is the condition that would not allow parking in the setback area, which I believe would be 40 feet from the right-of-way. Is that correct, Mr. Lang?
Correct.
And Ms. May would be required to have 5 customer parking spaces for her 855 square feet of retail sales and display areas, and 1 parking space for 2 employees. The one employee parking space and two customer parking spaces are not a problem. They can be located to the left of the structure and can be set back outside the 40-foot setback area. The three other spaces would intrude on the setback area. They would be proposed to be located on the right side in front of the structure, and the only other alternative for her would be to move these parking spaces to the right of the structure, but that would require the removing of a number of substantial shade trees, as you can see from the pictures, and also the septic system is located there. The house was previously used for a residence, and it's a circular driveway. There was vehicle parking and traffic in the setback area previously, and as Ms. May will testify, there is other businesses along there do have parking and traffic in that area. As a practical matter, it's unlikely that those spaces will all be filled at any one time, since there's only 5 to 7 visits per day, which has been her average, because, as I said, she does travel to customers' homes and does a lot of her business off-site. This is just a rather small display area, only 855 square feet.
But if they expand 24 sometime in the future, she does have enough place or space on this parcel to relocate parking lots, I guess. So, I mean, okay.
Yeah, there is space, it's just, she has a place to go, and if central sewer comes down, it would remove the problem with the septic system being located to the right of the property, and that would make it more feasible to do that. But right now, it would work a hardship on her if she were required to have all her parking spaces outside the setback area. If you don't have any, do you have any questions of me? If not, I'll have Ms. May address you briefly about her business and her concerns about the parking. Okay, Ms. May, would you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Robin May.
And do you verify the representations I've made are true and correct?
Yes.
Okay, would you tell the council a little bit about your business and your concerns about the parking spaces?
Okay. Good evening. I'm working out of a business that was started by my uncle nearly 20 years ago here in Sussex County. It was started in Rehoboth. I'm trying to move to a property that I will own and be able to expand a little bit and hopefully afford. Rehoboth is becoming highly expensive for a single mom trying to operate a business. Route 24 I live on seems to be a growing area. And within my price range. I do have a very big problem with the parking, and I have done some drawings, if you would like to see them, of the existing setback of the house and parking, with proposed parking and what it would be off of the right-of-way. And there's also an attached adjustment in the sign. As you can see probably from a lot of the pictures, is there are some very large trees. And as a recycler and an environmentalist, I prefer not to take them out. I've cleaned them up. I've cleaned up the view to the road so that there's easy visibility, because 24 is not always the easiest road to get on and off of. So I've tried to make it really easy for people to get in and get out of. But I can't find a way to do parking in the existing space. If I need to, I'll take out trees, but I would much prefer not to. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Like it to be.
And that would include some parking within the setback?
Yes.
Okay. Looks like about 3 spaces in the setback area.
There are the 3 to the left are completely out of the way.
Okay.
The 4 in the front, or the 3 in the questionable one, only because I didn't want something parking in the very front of the front door. As you can see, one is just 25 feet. Parking spot 3 is 25 feet off the right of way. And that is the 10 by 20 parking space. The others are 35 feet off.
Can you reword that number two then, Mr. Lank, if there is no objection from the council to change that? So when you can, if you can reword that.
Yep, I suppose we just delete that. Is that
delete
correct,
completely?
Mr. Lank?
I would, if that's the case, you would delete it. And your findings, it may be good to make state reasons as to why. But the ordinance doesn't say you can't. It just discourages it.
Okay. All right.
That way the commission is aware that you
okay
did that, made that part of your finding.
We'll take care of it.
Due to the tree and the septic. Right, doesn't say it only discourages, but over the last year or so, they've been tightening up on parking in the front yard. But they see problems with, as one of the councilmen said, loss of access or future right away for DelDOT, et cetera, as some of the reasons.
Well, could we then just state that, you know, if DelDOT needs to expand, the parking would be relocated, would have to be relocated so that.
Would have to be anyway.
I know it would be, but it would just, we'll just stipulate it to make it easier for DelDOT to, you know, to go through there with their easements and all that stuff.
Right. Just put on notice that it's a possibility in the future.
If and when, you know, DelDOT needs to expand 24.
Probably in your lifetime. I'm sure not.
In my daughter's. Can I just ask, with the fire hydrant in the front, is it something that they would easily do anyway?
There's a fire hydrant?
Directly in front of the property.
Right now?
It's noted in the front of that center area right in front of the little tree.
Whose fire hydrant's that?
Well, the public utilities, probably.
Going by?
Yeah. Either Tidewater or Keaton, probably.
Well, the private.
See the photos, Mr. Cole?
Is it? Oh, okay, I didn't notice the.
Until I get involved with utilities and all the utility lines, that's where you're moving to back also. Typically, they're on the right of way, or right at the edge of the right of way.
That's right.
Anybody have any more questions of Ms. May? Is there anything else you wish to say?
Thank you.
Mr. Lank, since you asked that some justification be given if parking is allowed in the front setback, what about the possibility of wording it like this? Parking shall be permitted within the front yard setback to prevent the removal of mature trees and to avoid relocation of the existing septic system.
Fine.
Will that solve the issue?
You're saying it's as a condition of approval. That's fine.
Okay. Is there any? Do you have anything else, Mr. Whaley?
Mr. Griffin, I just did prepare some proposed findings.
I'll hand up to you. If you want to consider that as part of your decision.
That's all I have. Thank you.
I think that took care of it, I believe. Didn't
what? We didn't mention anything about DelDOT in the future. I mean, that you could make another sentence there that when and if DelDOT expands through 24, she has to relocate. Do you want to put something like that in there, Jim? Just some referencing DelDOT's expansion and that she would have to relocate, so that there's not some big hassle with DelDOT in the future of.
Yeah, well, I would think if DelDOT widened 24, they would take by condemnation whatever they need to make that happen. I mean, it seems like that issue would resolve itself.
DelDOT's going to supersede anything we do.
Well, okay, I didn't know if on the negotiating prices and stuff like that, if we're making it more expensive for DelDOT to spend the taxpayers' money. I think if we put some wording in there that it would be relocated, then maybe it would be not as expensive for the taxpayers to negotiate with a conditional use.
What would you want that to say?
Well, I just, when and if expansion is necessary, applicant will relocate parking to rear or outside the setback or whatever.
The applicant has put forward, through Mr. Whaler, some proposed findings. If anyone wishes to see those and incorporate those in any action you might take on this, if the action is favorable.
I just left out that one condition in our proposed findings, but I've talked to my client. She doesn't have any problem with the wording suggested by Mr. Cole, that if Route 24 should be widened, she would move the parking outside the setback to the rear or the side, and we have confidence in what Mr. Dukes has said.
Okay.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this application, either in support of or in opposition to the application? Stever?
Hi, Joan Dever, and I live on Plantation Road, right at the corner with Route 24. My husband and I have already sent in an email in support of this. Robin is a very fine young lady, a family friend. We are one of her customers and her neighbor, and her work is exquisite. Believe me, she'd be a real asset to the community.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized.
Close it and read the title.
The record is closed. The title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a retail window treatment business to be located in a certain parcel of land in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.709 acres, more or less.
You got the conditions?
Yeah, with the four conditions.
Number two would read, parking shall be permitted within the front yard setback area to prevent removal of mature trees and to avoid relocation of the existing septic system. And if Route 24 should be widened, if necessary, the applicant will relocate parking to the rear of the structure.
I make a motion with the conditions as modified, Mr. President.
I have a second.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Cole, to approve CU 1659 with the four conditions, number two being modified, which Mr. Griffin has read. Any questions on the motion? Being none, Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes for the conditions.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes for the conditions.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes also with the conditions.
My vote is yes with the conditions. Motion's passed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next application.